Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Hey, oh, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton. And Josh Rhubarb Brown has the night off. He's hanging out with the missus watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Probably Queer Eye.
Queer Eye? Okay.
He does love Queer Eye.
He might be watching Joanna and Chip. Chip and Joanna.
Same thing, right?
I mean, kind of. I'll admit, though, I used to watch Chip and Joanna myself. It's a ship lap.
Yeah, but every episode, she's like, I want to open it up in here and bring in some natural light. Like,
that's true.
That's all you do is, like, just knock out drywall.
Yeah.
I could do that.
I mean, it's kind of pretty, though, when she finishes.
But it is. No, it is, yeah.
But I mean, for white folks, anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
but the, you like think crazy doing all the work?
White people think it's
they
cool.
Just show up and, like, film 30 minutes worth, and then, like, a bunch of other grunts come in and, like, do all the hard work.
Yeah, Jose comes in and finishes everything.
Juan. Just the pretty faces.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is Baylor, let's be honest. It's Waco, Texas. They're either in the middle of being a cult or embroiled in a major college athletic scandal or being turned upside down by a crazy mayor.
Yeah.
Touché. Touché. It's like, you know, Cordell, Georgia. Exactly the same thing, right?
The watermelon capital of the world, as Tom Brenneman would say. Cordell, Georgia.
Oh, man. Tom kind of stepped in it, didn't he? Woo!
Tom, I'm gonna take a knee. Take a lap. Sit this one out, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, you just gotta have more sense. You've worked in sports so long, you gotta know that mic, you just gotta pretend that the mic's always hot. You know what I mean? Like,
that is literally the first thing they tell you. Whenever you're in any business, television or radio, and there's a microphone in front of your face that's live, not recorded, like I can cuss right now, you can just edit it out. The first thing, assume it is on. That's day one. Like, literally college internship type stuff. You know, like, that's just rookie stuff. And now,
don't get me wrong.
You can't do that.
Like, I'm not saying that was his biggest faux pas here. His biggest faux pas was making a stupid statement. Don't get me wrong. That was the statement was bad. But you should also have enough sense in radio to not make statements like that while having a microphone on you. It should be both. Like,
right.
Both are stupid, you know.
Exactly. And what you got to do is you can't say anything. Like, even if he was just talking about, I'm going to pick my wife up from the airport, blah, 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 blah. You just come off looking like an idiot, and that's okay. Like, okay, that happens to people. Just, you can't say stuff like that. Like, come on, man. Like, no. Like, You can't do it, man. You can't do it. And there is no coming back from that, unfortunately. Like, this is it. This is done. And I'm, I'm not a cancel culture guy. But there's just no recovery from that. You can't
not in today's
be the
culture.
Guy who,
and that's what's crazy.
No.
Like 15 years ago, this is not a big deal. Maybe he gets a little minor slap on the hand suspension, 3 or 4 games. Then suddenly he skips a home series or skips a road series and he's back. And everybody forgets about it in a week and a half. Now, like, the entire posse mob comes after you, and anytime Tom Brenneman shows up
posse.
On anything, he's going to be lynched, basically, you know?
Right. And, well, here's the thing. 15 years ago, two things were different. One is the coverage. This would have gotten. 15 years ago, it would have popped up on Deadspin and gotten a little traction.
Uh-huh.
But not the way it did with Twitter.
Right.
Where it's, like, instantaneous traction. And 15 years ago, now this is not 30 years ago when Eddie Murphy was dropping that word like 57 times during a stand-up special.
Yeah.
But the temperature of the room has changed when it comes to use of that word. And there's certain words that we have definitely evolved with how we feel about them.
You know what's hilarious, though, JT? It's funny how politically correct we've gotten. Because all the gay people I know, and I will admit that's a small amount, okay? But I, the ones that I'm closest to, the four or five that I'm relatively closer to, use the FAG word all the time. Like, they have zero problem with that word. Now, that being said, they're not necessarily using it in a malicious sense as much as maybe Tom was, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the word itself is not offensive to them at all, at least not in any sort of significant way. You know,
well, it's always about context. You know,
I guess so.
If a guy I know is gay and he says, "Hey, man, it doesn't bother me because it comes from you, and we can be guys and you can bust my balls and yada yada yada," then that's one thing completely, because he knows me, knows my intentions, knows I'm not malicious towards him, knows I love the guy. That's one thing, but. You know, a complete stranger using it in a very menacing, derogatory tone is totally different, yeah. You know? And so, I mean, yeah, just because some people are cool with it, well, of course, like, you're going to let your friend, like, because the way guys are, we let our guy friends talk to us in ways that, like, even girls just don't understand.
True.
You know, like, you're in our group chat.
We bust each other's
balls, like, nonstop. That's just what we do. We will make fun of everybody for everything. And that's okay. Because we understand it. But someone that doesn't know doesn't mean, like, they can use it. You know what I mean? And that's, look, it's on the list of words that's just really tough to come back from any sort of public sense when you're caught using that on a live mic.
Yeah, like,
that's just,
for sure.
That's for a hard sure. one to, that's a hard pill to swallow there, buddy. Like, sorry.
Yeah, it is. And so, I still don't think this is something that should get you canceled, but it probably will. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where I don't think saying something stupid that you didn't mean to be on air, even if it's mildly derogatory, and maybe some people find this, like, hyper-offensive, and I'm just not aware. I don't know. But, like, I just don't have near the problem with it. Anyway.
You shouldn't be that offended by it. I think pretending you're more offended is just dumb. Don't do that. Because I'm not offended by it. I'm not a gay person. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see why that would get you fired.
Sure.
And I can definitely see that's just not okay. You know, in today's culture, like, you can't do that. Now, if he was like, "Oh, this city's full of idiots,"
yeah.
You know, that would be one thing. Like, "Hey, sorry. I was just goofing off. I didn't mean to offend anybody in Kansas City."
He should have just said, like,
"I was just goofing off."
He should have just said, "That's like the Democrat capital of the world." And then, like, no one would have had a problem with it. You know,
use a code word or something. But
yeah.
let's be clear here. Everybody that's listening, whether you're offended by what he said or not, let's be clear. We've all said off-color jokes and off-color remarks to our friends all the time. This happens. Okay.
Yeah.
We all do this. Now, what you can't do is when you are a broadcaster and you have a microphone.
You can't let it slip on a live national television.
You can't do that. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, "Oh, I've said that before. Well, come on. We've all joked around, blah, blah, blah. It's an off-color joke. Well, these things happen." Yeah, but they can't really happen, like, when you're at work on the clock with a live microphone in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
That's when it cannot happen at all. You know,
yeah.
This isn't a cocktail party where you're goofing off with some of your buddies. This is your job. So,
yeah. It's the state of the world we live in, man. I mean, people will kill you for anything, and if you give them enough, they'll definitely kill you.
Never seen
this.
A dude pulled off a broadcast like mid game before. I've never seen
the
that.
Apology was worse.
That's wild.
Like, did you see the apology? Like, he's giving the apology, and Nick Castellanos hits a home run in the middle of it,
and there's a homer.
He cuts from the apology to call the home run, and then comes right back to the apology. And Nick Castellanos hit the home run into the no judgment section at Cincinnati. It's like, oh my God, it can't be more perfect.
Just hold off on the home run call, man.
Just
and he gives the score. He updated the score during his apology.
I know.
I think he did a lot of work for them when he said, "I don't know if I'll ever be wearing this headset again."
Yeah.
Because now they don't have to make the tough choice. It's kind of like he made it for them.
Right.
That was weird. I don't know, man. But what can you do? Like, I know he felt bad. I know he felt terrible. I know he felt like I just ruined my career in one second.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That sucks. That sucks that a lapse in judgment, but you can't sit there and say, well, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Well, who was it? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
now,
you just can't, you can't be doing that.
In other regards, I did find this hilarious. Jeff Passan had to apologize for tweeting the exact quote. And he's like, and then came back and he's like, we have to do better as journalists. And I'm like, no, a journalist actually reports what was said and then lets the listener decide. You don't have to edit it. You don't have to like tell me he used a gay slur. You can actually put the word he used if you're a news reporter. You know, like,
I mean, he could have put like F asterisk asterisk.
But everyone knows what the word is, right? Like, I mean,
oh, I know. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, okay.
Just why does it matter? Like, you're a journalist. Why is someone trying to cancel him for reporting news factually of what was said? You know, like.
No, I agree. I mean, he could have sidestepped it a little bit, but he was just saying, look, here's what he said. And he didn't censor the word when he quoted it. And so, dude, I mean, he didn't say it. He's just telling you, hey, this is the story. I'm reporting the news. And this is because some people will sidestep it and say he used a anti-gay slur. Well, we all know what you mean when you say anti-gay slur.
Right.
Like, you know, we know what he what you mean by that.
Yeah.
And so he just didn't, you know, pussyfoot. He just went right for it and said, hey, he said this, and I quote. And hey, whatever. But again, he's a journalist, so he can always defend himself by saying, look, I'm telling you what he said. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's not a pretty story. It's not a uplifting story that you want to read. I'm sorry you don't like it, but that's
what was
said. Tom Brennan. Right. Don't blame me. Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that he just doubled. I mean, I could, because that's the world we live in now, that he doubles down and has to apologize.
He didn't. He was told, hey, man, just tweet out something, you know, to cover it up.
I don't know.
Like, I'm pretty sure somebody called him and said, hey, can you tweet out something to, you know.
He tweeted out this whole thing about how journalists have to do better and that he shouldn't have done it. And it was a whole apology and everything. It's like, it was crazy.
Here's the thing. You don't be afraid of, I mean, just say, hey, this is what happened. And it's
this
stupid.
This is what I found. This is what I found, JT. The mob will come after anyone who apologizes for anything. If you just don't apologize, they don't have any. They can't do anything about you. Like comedians, the reason comedians are funny and the ones that are good and can say literally anything is because they don't apologize for what they said because they're comedians. You know what I mean? Like,
they
literally never apologize. Louis C.K. still has not apologized for anything he said or done. You know what I mean? Like he just is what he is. And if you don't like it, you can try to cancel him. But he doesn't care, and if I don't care if you try to cancel me, then you don't really have any power over me, you know?
It kind of takes the air out of the balloon at that point.
I mean, 10 or 12 people may scream online, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it still doesn't affect the rest of the mob, you know? I don't know. It's the way it feels nowadays, is if you just don't give in to the mob doesn't win, usually. Unless you actually murdered someone or something, you know?
Well, this is a case where I don't blame the mob. Like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, cancel culture is taking away Tom Brennan. A, I don't care about Tom Brennan.
That's true.
I don't care. So it's not like I have some, like, they're trying to take my favorite guy off the air and I'm defending him at all costs. Dude, he said a word you can't say on the air. Simple as that. It'd be the same if he's dropped an F-bomb.
But again, it's not the Tom Brennan part that I have a problem with. It's the going after Jeff Passan part that drives me crazy. That's the cancel culture part.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little over the top. I mean, he's just reporting it. But again, I mean, he could have said that Tom Brennan said a gay slur, but yet we know what he said. We can click the video and see what he said. So, I mean, I get that, but he could have taken steps to mitigate that so people wouldn't come after him, because you got to know even if you're quoting it, if you say that, people are going to be like, oh, that's offensive. And it's like, I didn't say it. I'm quoting someone else.
This is not related to gay people, but we live in a world with so many sissies in it. I mean, like, he said a word. If you are over the age of 18 and a word bothers you, I'm sorry, especially from a news report, please go go get professional help. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's a word. Like, if someone was standing in your face yelling it, that's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone's shouting you down when you walk outside your house with it, that's a different thing. But when someone is literally reporting a word, it's like reading something from, you know, Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn and being offended that there's a word Negro in it. You know, like, get out of here, dude. It's like a word. You know, it's a word in a book. It's not trying to be blatantly offensive even, you know. It wasn't at the time it was written. So please understand context and stop trying to cancel everything that makes you feel uncomfortable. Get over it.
That's what bothers me. Can we talk about the fact that Tom spells his name T-H-O-M?
And that's weird. Ridiculous. That is. It's like, but then I was thinking about it. It's like maybe it's sophisticated, like Thomas, you know, T-H-O-M-A, you know.
Tom with a T. How many times has he said in his life, Tom, T-H-O-M?
Yeah.
Like, he's had to say that a million times in his life. Like, Thom? Your name is Thom?
Still. I mean, to be fair, Tom Brenneman should be like some rich dude in Europe that is holding a little thing of coffee. My name is Tom. Brenneman. You know.
Sorry. Hey, at least you don't have to watch the Reds play anymore. That's good.
Oh, man. What was funny was the people, social media, like, jumping on the whole virtue signaling thing. Like, there's baseball players out there like, I stand with the homosexual community. And I'm like, no one cares. Whatever. Like, no one gives a rip, you know? Like, Amir Garrett's tweeting, I'm sorry to all the homosexuals out there. And I'm like, no one cares,
I'm not going to question. Like, I'm not going to question Amir Garrett because he will fight me. He'll show up in my driveway and fight me. So I'm not going to question Amir Garrett. But if you've ever played baseball at any level, then maybe times have changed. But we have sources that will tell us that, hey, they'll say some sour stuff in a baseball clubhouse, you know. But again, you have to do those kind of things because, look, from a business standpoint, the brand of the Cincinnati Reds was hurt by what Tom Brenneman said. And so I get the fact they're going to have players tweet out in defense of that, hey, this doesn't represent us. And that's fine. That's great. I mean, that should be the way it is because – You can't have a broadcaster dropping slurs on the air.
Yeah.
They're gay slurs, sure. Racial slurs, any kind of slur, that's indefensible. If he had said, Kansas City, a bunch of fat people live here, that apology might, you know, suffice, you know, whatever.
At the end of the day, JT, this is all I want to know. I want to know what the rest of the sentence was. What city was he talking about? Was he talking about Philly? Was it San Francisco? Was it Seattle? Was it Atlanta?
I assumed Kansas City. Who knows, man? It could have been like Topeka. I've got no idea.
I mean, he may have just been talking about an upcoming road trip because it was like some off-air conversation, you know, and he may have been talking about like, God, I don't want to go to San Francisco. It's the blankety blank capital of the world, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
What I texted you in the group chat, maybe he meant Turkey, which is the fig capital of the world.
Maybe
we misunderstood him.
Yeah, it's that Cincinnati accent. That's what it is.
Right. You know? Maybe he was like, I could go for a fig right now. You know what, Turkey? It's the fig capital of the world.
Or maybe he was talking about cigarettes, JT. Maybe he was like thinking, you know, Winston-Salem, you know.
Winston-Salem?
He's got a trip going to the fag capital of the world talking about cigarettes, just saying.
You're gonna cancel now. You can't say what someone else said.
I'm sorry. Poor Eddie Murphy.
But anyway, yes, don't say that on the radio or the TV or anything. That's dumb.
It is kind of dumb. Just
there you go. Sorry, Thom.
Let's see. I think it's time, JT.
Oh, are we doing this?
Yeah, I think it's time to go around the majors.
And now it's time for Around the Majors with Josh and JT, where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball. Don't have an ESPN Insider subscription? Will no one share their athletic subscription with you? No problem. This shit's free. Now, here's Josh and JT.
With Ken and JT this week.
All right, now you're going to have to excuse me because I've been watching a lot of hockey lately.
Ah.
So,
the tonsil kind?
I've been watching a ton of baseball because the Braves have been off for like a week, it seems. Ugh. What is that? Like, the Braves seem like they've been off forever. It's been like 2 days. All right, so we'll start with Fernando Tatis Jr., who Ken keeps trying to trade for in our fantasy league. The 3-0 Grand Slam, a team up 7. I don't care about this. I don't care. It's not like you're up 10 and you're stealing second. You are just doing what you're there to do, and that's swing the baseball bat. What are you supposed to do? Strike out on purpose? Are you supposed to go up with a bat on your shoulder and just sit there and let him pump 3 down the middle and go back to the dugout? No, I mean, you're up there. You might as well. Now, don't rub it in. I'm not saying you should pull a hit and run up 7. You shouldn't, like, steal a second. Don't throw a suicide squeeze down when you're up 7. But, again, like, a guy like Tatis gets a green light 3-0. I don't think he did at this point. I think he went against his coaches.
Yeah, that was part of the cringe of it here is his coaches actually throwing him under the bus at the end of the game. Yeah.
Yeah, but the coaches said, you know what? I was wrong. Hey, nice grand slam, buddy. You know? Yeah. The coach did the right thing because if I'm up 7 and the guy's up 3-0, I'm putting on the take sign too. I'm just like, hey, man, just
no, you didn't. Mistake. But did you didn't hear his comments after the game? The coach said that he shouldn't have swung and that he would have a conversation with him.
Oh, that's crazy.
His own coach said that.
Who's their coach?
Tingler.
He's got a weird name. Tingler. Lance Tingler.
I think it's something like that. Tingler. It's basically the name of like a pleasure.
You're an idiot.
He's a sex toy as a manager.
French tickler. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with Trevor Bauer. Dude, don't apologize. Just bring energy and fun to the sport. Our buddy Dayton had a tweet about instead of, you know, that's typical baseball. Instead of celebrating the awesome thing a kid did, here we are chastising him for doing said awesome thing. And that's baseball in a nutshell. Like, quit with the unwritten rule, Gaga. Dude, you've got a young, talented, marketable player that has an amazing ability to hit baseballs. And instead of just being like, oh my gosh, Fernando Tatis Jr. is awesome.
Yeah.
We care about him swinging on 3-0? Honestly, like, why is this a story? Like, who cares? This is part of the reason you can't make stars is because you're so married to this unwritten rules of gritty baseball from the 1930s. Like,
but see, I'm okay with the unwritten rules. I just thought this one was stupid. Like, I don't even. I've grown up watching unwritten rules. I heard Tom Glavine say that in his era that wouldn't have been cool, but I really don't believe that. Like, 7 runs is not a gigantic lead. Especially not in today's game with no DH. With no pitchers hitting and with a DH. You know what I mean? Like, the Braves scored 7 runs.
Make a better pitch.
Yeah, the Braves scored 7 runs in one inning, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, sure.
To come back and win.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, you know, hit a grand slam, you know? Like, who cares? It's if, like, JT, so at college level, at kids level, I get it. Unwritten rule, if you're up 7 runs in college, you probably shouldn't worry about it. You know, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, you probably should just take on a 3-0. But at the pro level, it's your job to score. It is not your job to have mercy on the other team. And if the other team, if they want to put a mercy rule in baseball so that the other manager could just give up when they're getting beat 7-0, then fine. You know, then we'll stop swinging on 3-0 if you will just you can just give up on the game and we'll stop, you know. But until you do that, I'm going to score and it's your job to try to stop me. And if I beat you 22-1, that's your problem, you know.
Fernando Tatis Jr., every home run, every RBI, every base hit counts towards that big contract that's coming for him.
Heck yeah.
You know what I mean? So every single one is leverage in his back pocket. Going towards getting that next big deal that's coming down the line for him where he's going to get mega paid. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, he's taking money off his table when he doesn't swing and put one out of the ballpark.
Right.
You know? So I don't blame him at all, man. He's protecting his future. More power to him, man. Dude, hit 2 grand slams in one inning like your dad did, Fernando.
Yeah, and for the record, the Rangers crybabied about this. You know, their manager crybabied about it. And the next day, Tatis stole 3rd with his team up 6. And
just to That's an unwritten rule I like about baseball. The unwritten rule of give the middle finger back to your opponent.
And, I loved it.
In some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I had zero problems.
Chris Woodward is Texas manager, right? Chris Woodward?
I think so,
Former Blue Jays shortstop.
That sounds right.
Who cares?
Yeah.
They suck.
They ended up hitting 3 grand slams in that series against the Rangers.
Tatis. Yeah, I know, because Mike Minor's on my fantasy team, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny Bench. Johnny Bench was on, was it Dan Patrick, I believe? He had some comments about this.
Yeah, Johnny Bench was I think he was very new school in his comments, wasn't he?
Which is weird, because he's like 90, but whatever.
Yeah, I think he said, hit the ball, son. That's what you should do. You should hit the grand slam.
Okay, would you say Johnny Bench, greatest catcher of all time? This is one of the more polarizing questions, because there's basically 5 nominees. There's Johnny Bench, Carlton Fisk, Pudge Rodriguez, Mike Piazza, Yogi Berra.
For me, it's between Pudge and Yogi. Johnny Bench is amazing, don't get me wrong, but Pudge is by far athletically the best catcher of all time, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I saw him play. I did not see Johnny Bench play. Not more than just clips. Pudge.
I saw Carlton Fisk when I was young. Like,
yeah. But he was like a shell of the real Carlton.
Yeah, he was old. He was old.
Yeah. Pudge, though, amazing catcher. Like, there's no other way to like call it. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a better physical defensive catcher than Pudge. And then, of course, he could crush baseballs. But Yogi Berra, he won 8 World Series, right?
Right. But, I mean, that wasn't just because of Yogi Berra.
No, but he called 8 World Series, you know? I get it was Murderers Row and Yankees and all that good stuff, but you know.
Well, that Murderers Row was earlier.
Yes, it was. But I'm just saying, it was like that whole Yankees amazing.
Mantle, DiMaggio, those guys.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, there's a part of me that wants to say Mike Piazza because, I know he could not throw a guy out and save his life. But, I mean, dude was one of the best offensive catchers of all
time. Is it fair to say that Mike Piazza is the greatest National League DH of all time?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the guy just hits.
Because that's really what he was. Not that he was bad defensively at catcher, but nobody's remembering him as a defensive catcher, I don't think.
Oh, they remember his lack of defense. This is definitely a thing I need to text Boggy about, but I think his like percentage caught stealing was like, what's it, like 8%?
Oh my gosh,
like it's dismal. Like that may not be right, but that's like somewhere in my memory that I know that like it's not great. But he could bring a man home, if you know what I mean, and he was an amazing offensive player. I mean, from a guy who is like drafted because he was Tommy Lasorda's godson, and they took him like as a gift, and he turned it into a Hall of Fame career. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I don't know, man. I just always had a soft spot for Mike Piazza. I think it's just the time I grew up. He just was always a cool looking guy. You know, he had that look to him. You know,
yeah.
So I don't know, but anybody like my dad's age will tell me that Johnny Bench is the best catcher of all time, and anything else is stupid. It's always Johnny Bench. Okay, moving on. Oh my goodness, the Yankees are falling apart. Holy cow!
Yeah, they're the injury bug has bitteth.
I know how you feel, Yankees fans. Don't worry, I understand this.
Yeah,
I have to watch another Robbie Erlund start later on. Nothing against Robbie. I'm sure he's a good guy, but let's. Just pray. Zach Britton, Paxton, MRI. I saw Zach Britton got put on the IL today. Stanton's down. Judge is down. LeMahieu's a pain in the butt. He's down.
He may be out 3
weeks.
My
God.
With a finger thing.
So yeah. Gleyber Torres left the game with a hammy injury. Oh, my.
Heard he was getting MRI after today's game.
Dude, there's nobody left. They're going to be getting Jorge Posada out of retirement.
To be fair, I think Judge comes back Saturday. And the Yankees have some depth, but, man, whew.
No, man, that's tough to overcome.
It is. It is.
That's rough. That's rough. Well, I mean, Braves fans, hey, man, we know how you feel.
The only thing.
Pitching staff has been obliterated, and then Ozzy and Acuna being down with these wrist injuries because they play Halo too much. Not been great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's. I saw a picture of Acuna today driving his Porsche, I think. Did you see that? I think it was Acuna.
No, I didn't see it.
It's bright neon green. He's got some bright neon green shoes on. Yeah. It's something special.
I know Ozzy has a white Audi. That's nice.
Yeah, you parked next to it. I remember that.
Yes, I parked next to it with a nice 2010 Honda Pilot.
Did you ding the door good? Like JT opens the door. I did. Hey, Ozzy's car.
Okay, so what's this on the notes here? Mets, inevitable. Someone has COVID? Someone has COVID on the Mets?
Yeah, the Mets tested positive. Has had a player and a personnel.
Didn't they have this already in the offseason? They had a thing?
I don't know. Maybe. I might have missed that.
They did. I thought they had something in their front office. And then, of course, they had the foot and hand and mouth disease or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That was last year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, because they always seem like they're going to step in it. They're the Tom Brenneman of MLB teams. They're That's the ones true. That are going to do something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, and the Mets, they also lost that really young, good young pitcher. What is it? Daniel Peterson? David Peterson? Whatever that dude's name is. No. He's now on the aisle with a strained shoulder, I believe it is. So, yeah, the Mets going to Mets. That's the way that kind of works.
The Mets don't just lose players to injury. They will lose players. Like, I don't know where he is. I have no idea. 100%. Turns out he quit. Oh, okay.
I like how the new "I quit" is opted out. You know, it's like I have chosen to opt out. It's like
I'm not divorcing my wife. I am opting out.
Opting out of my marriage. Yeah, it's like it's all PR. You know,
it's like, I'm not quitting my job. I'm just opting out.
Opting out of going to work today. Yeah.
hey. Kids, did you do your homework? No, Dad, I've opted out of homework.
I've opted out of homework. I like it.
Can't argue with that. That's your, you know what? That's your, I'm in full
JT,
support of your decision.
You try telling Mallory, I've opted out of taking out the trash, dear. I've opted out of washing
dishes.
Today
is trash night. You're right. Today is trash night. Thanks for the reminder. I got to get welcome. That down to the curb.
Yeah, unless you opt out. Unless you want to opt out, you know.
She has to just support my decision. If I opt out, she has to be in support. That's
just tell her. Just tell her I'm opting out because of COVID-19. I'm opting out, dear. I'm opting out of taking out the.
There you go.
The
That's
trash.
Fair.
You know. Just I
want to
keep
be
you
in
safe,
support
baby.
Of those kind of things.
I want to keep you safe, babe.
Trevor Bauer shoes. Okay, this is the coolest thing I've seen in baseball this week. Was the free Joe Kelly shoes that Trevor Bauer wore?
Yeah, he was going to wear them. Yeah.
Okay, that's so baseball. You're so stupid. Stop it.
It's
Stop
true.
Being dumb, baseball. Let some players show some personality that's funny, that's cool, it's controversial, and guess what? Controversy brings attention, which brings eyeballs, which brings money. So stop it. Like, true. What's the problem here? Like they're afraid. They're so afraid of anything remotely controversial that, like, that's what brings attention and brings people in.
For those that don't know the background here, Trevor Bauer was going to wear some, excuse me, some shoes that said Free Joe Kelly on them, had a picture of Joe's face on it with his tongue stuck out. And MLB threatened to remove him from the game and fine him if he wore them. Which...
Yeah. So Joe Kelly, because he got suspended because he threw at the cheaters, the Astros.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, but it's like baseball is like, don't bring attention to it. Like, they're sitting there saying... pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, like Wizard of Oz. You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's a weird thing. Like, you've got talented players, young, talented players in baseball with personality that any chance MLB gets to snuff out their ability to showcase their personality, they'll take it. Like, they just love to do that. And I don't get it.
MLB's like that dad in Little League that has told his son 1,000 ways to be good. And then one day his son just kind of snaps on him in like right on the field with everyone watching and says, "Shut up, Dad," or something like that. You know, like there's a bad relationship there already. You can tell, you know. Yeah. And the kid tells him, shut up, dad. And the dad's like going to kill him kind of thing. And then the kid hits a home run. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, and then the dad can't really do anything about it. Well, like that insecure dad, that's basically MLB front office. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking about this and things I remember about great, like football players will be like touchdown celebrations and things that made them different, things that make them stand out. And like Barry Sanders stood out because all he did was like hand the ball back to the ref. And it was unique in its humility, you know, because he was one of the only people like no tattoos, no piercings, no touchdown celebrations. That was just, right. He's from, you know, he's a guy from Oklahoma. He's, you know, I mean, he's a very low key kind of dude.
Yeah.
And that was kind of unique to him. But on the flip side, there was Deion Sanders high stepping to the end zone with the bandanas and the dangly cross earrings. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so there was
Joe Namath with his, you know, his,
yeah,
his coat.
Joe Namath, the mink coat on the sidelines. You know what I mean? There were all these different personalities. And it's like.
And TV was real tame. So, like, sometimes the fan didn't even get all the personality that was there. Like, Joe Montana. Sure. Was like this huge personality, and most people think of Joe Montana as kind of like this sweet dad guy, kind of almost like a pretty boy. But Joe Montana was very much like, in his time, Joe Montana was kind of a Johnny Manziel type. Like, if you knew him, like, he was kind of that guy. Yeah, minus the drugs. But I'm just saying, well, or at least the out of control part of the drugs.
he was Joe Cool, man. He was, dude, there's not a cooler name than Joe Montana. You know, like, that's an awesome quarterback name. But it was like, okay, but they let their personalities show. You know, like, you can't see a guy like Randy Moss and not think of his personality. Or, you know, Lawrence Taylor. Or, you know, you name a majority of other players in other sports. And baseball is like, why do you tamper that down so much? Why are you so against that? Like, let people be themselves. And that, yeah. Allow that's free marketing for your sport, you know, like let their personality shine and that will attract people to viewing your sport, you know.
Have you ever seen Joe Montana in the 40 effing Niner shirt? Have you seen that picture?
No way.
Oh, yeah. Let me send it to you. Yeah, this is great.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Yeah. Let me send it to you real fast so you can. Here we go. Let me throw it up so we get a live. This is reaction shot with
okay,
JT.
Here we go.
Sending it in the side chat there if I didn't fat
finger.
Oh,
here we go. Hold on, let me pull this up here. Hold on. Let's see. Yeah.
you see it? You see it with Joe with his tongue stuck out?
Oh, what? Dude. Okay. All right. That's I need a shirt like that. That is awesome.
Yeah, that
now, that's
awesome
early show. Joe. That's got to be like rookie Joe. That's 1980. I mean, I can tell by the hair.
It had to be pretty young. It had to be pretty young.
Yeah, that's definitely young Joe Montana there.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't looked it up, fellas, just look up the Joe Montana 40 effing, except not, it's the full word, Niners, you know. You'll find it. It's easy to find. It's a great
That's so cool, man. That's such a cool shirt. Because I've always had a soft spot for the 49ers because
I love the Niners growing up, man.
Growing up, I mean, yeah, I mean, they were, you know, that was the team. There was no cooler look than the gold and red, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. Oh, man, that was just the first Super Bowl I remember is when they just demolished the Denver Broncos and whatever that was, 1990. I can't remember what Super Bowl it was. But, man, Joe Montana was the coolest dude on the block. That's
oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, what was the tight end's name that was so good? Crap. Oh, my God.
Tight end, early 90s.
I think he was a tight end. Maybe he was a wide receiver. Who was there? Who was the kid that – it was Joe Montana to – crap.
Well, he had – let's see. Yeah, Jerry Rice. You thinking Dwight Clark? That was early 80s.
Dwight Clark. That's who I'm thinking of. That
was
Dwight Clark.
That was the catch. Yeah. That was the catch against the Cowboys where he won most famous NFL plays where he jumped up and caught it.
I guess he's
a
wide receiver.
That was a cool jersey, a cool look. Yeah.
Clark, though, they kind of used him. Like, I don't remember him being just a strict wide receiver. I guess he was a slot guy, kind of. So he was used a little more tight end.
Yeah, back then, you know, that was Bill Walsh that had the West Coast offense, and now like every team runs it. But back then, that was he was like the Chip Kelly of his day, like bringing in some crazy offense that no one had ever seen before.
Yeah.
Now it's pretty standard. Everybody does.
What was that? The run and shoot, or was that the pro?
That was the West Coast.
The West Coast. There you go. West Coast. Yeah, I knew that.
Run and shoot was Marv Levy and the Bills back in the early 90s. The four straight Super Bowls. That was them. And that was more of a vertical thing. The West Coast was kind of similar to like a spread offense kind of.
Yeah, so we got the West Coast. We got the run and shoot. And then you had the greatest show on turf. That was
St. Louis Rams.
And that was like five wide. That was Kurt Warner blowing everything up.
Mike Martz was the offensive coordinator and took over as coach after Vermeil left.
I guess that was like a spread kind of. But they had like Marshall Faulk and they had – I mean, it wasn't like Faulk they did
– Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Oz Hakeem. I mean, they just basically just were going – almost like arena football style.
It did feel that way, yeah.
Very similar to what LSU did in college last year.
That's true.
Wide open, and we're going to put pressure on your defense, and you're going to have to cover the entire field all the time, and you're going to quit before we quit. And they basically just gassed you up.
Yes. JT, going on around the majors, have you had a look at the divisions lately?
I looked at the NL East today, just because I was curious. I didn't know how many games the Marlins have played yet. I'm glad to see the Braves are in first. That's awesome. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
But everything there is all five teams are within three games, which is we thought was going to happen.
Cubs kind of running away with the Central, 16-8. Next closest to the Brewers at 11-11. Dodgers are 18-8. Padres are 14-12. Rockies are 13-12. Diamondbacks are 13-12. And even though lowly Giants are only 10-16, I mean, that division's fairly tight. 10-16 feels like it's probably out of it, though. Let's see. AL East, the Rays are 17-9. The Yankees are 16-9.
The Red Sox, my goodness. Did you see them being 9.5 out at this point?
They've won seven games. Seven. Seven. Seven.
I knew they wouldn't be as good. I knew they wouldn't be as good, but I didn't think like
I didn't think they were this bad. I knew they were bad. I didn't know they were this bad. Losing Eduardo Rodriguez didn't help. You know.
Well, the thing is, when you have 60 games and like you struggle through your first 15, at that point you're just like, screw it. This season's dumb. Mentality take over?
AL Central's close. Twins at 16-9, Indians at 15-9. Who had the Indians being 15-9? I sure as heck didn't.
I like the Indians last year. I thought they were a decent team, but I don't know, man. Terry Francona. Dude, I would never count him out, but I love the Twins, dude. I think the Twins are just like a really fun young team. I would love to see the Twins go deep.
What do you think about Plesac and Clevinger? We haven't talked about that. Have you heard about that whole deal?
We talked about it last week. We talked about that, didn't we?
We did, and now they've been DFA'd to the minors, to the AAA team, and some people are talking about they may never pitch for the Major League Baseball team again, that they may be traded.
That's a dumb idea, because if you announce that, you're just basically taking all your trade leverage away.
Well, I mean, they haven't announced that, but that's been been implied by some people. So,
and this is all because of them breaking protocol?
Yeah, and I guess the team didn't like it and was mad about it, but, you know, what a bunch of sissies. You shouldn't break protocol, but come on. Like, seriously?
Clevinger's a good pitcher, right? I mean, I don't keep up with the Indians as much. Clevinger's
a really good,
but
pitcher. Yeah.
Bieber's their other one, right?
Yeah, Bieber's amazing.
Yeah.
Shane.
Well, I was thinking Justin is.
I knew you were.
Shane's okay. I don't know, man. I don't know. It seems everything is always forgivable if you can bring it on the field. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That seems like a hard line to draw. Yes, you're dumb. Yes, it's stupid. make them run, you know, run sprints or whatever.
I mean, I'll trade them Ender Inciarte, Austin Riley, and a couple of pitching prospects Mike Clevinger. Yeah.
Shoot, yeah.
Nick Markakis needs to kick his ass when he gets here to get him in line, Nick can do it. You know, Nick's already been exposed to COVID anyway, so it doesn't really matter if, you know, just whatever. Just saying.
I don't know if you want to bring him to Atlanta because, you know, people are tempted to break protocol in Atlanta to go get Magic City wings.
That's true.
So, you know, may not be the best spot for him. But
that's true.
Yeah, just look, punish them in other ways. But if they can contribute to the team, like, come on.
So the Oakland A's are 17-8, and the Astros are 15-10, and no one else in that division is even close to 500. The A's.
How cool would it be?
The A's are a good baseball team. Yeah, they're a good.
That'd be
baseball
so
team.
Awesome. Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome to see the A's win the AL and play in the World Series? That would be.
As long as they're not beating the Braves, yeah, I would be down.
Because I can tell you Matt Chapman.
Oh,
and that
so
is
good.
It. That's all I've got.
Yeah.
I can't tell you another A.
Jesus Luzardo. He's pretty good at pitching.
Okay.
Yeah. They got that guy that got suspended for getting in a fight that has a cannon for an arm. What is it? Ramon Laureano.
Yeah. Okay. I got him.
And then don't they have Matt Olson still at first base over there? I think they do.
Sounds like maybe.
And
sounds right.
Isn't Mark Canna an A still? I think he is.
No idea. What about Barry Zito? Is he still there?
I don't think he is. I think he retired.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, Canna's playing for the old Athletics.
Honestly, best jerseys in baseball, man. It's not even really close.
I can see it.
The color scheme for the A's, I'll take it, man. It's because, you know, part of it, too, is the rarity of it because of how rare it is that I get Oakland Athletics baseball on my TV.
That's true.
And so when I see it, I'm like, oh, man, that's so good looking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's
just
like,
a cool
it's kind
of
like the Mariners used to be. I think their new jerseys look stupid, but their old stuff was so good, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way it is. It just stands out, and it's rare to see it, and so when you see it, you take notice of it. And dude, I love it.
It's like your smile, JT.
Thank you, sir.
Moving along around the league, did you see the news from the Angels?
No, what happened?
Julio has been sent to the pen.
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. What did they pay for Julio in the offseason?
I don't even remember. That's a good question. It seems like it wasn't like super cheap.
I don't think it can be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's a vet. He's on a 1-year $9 million contract. So relatively cheap for pitchers, but still not totally cheap.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Now there's more. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, that's crazy. My dad was on that train for like 5 years ago. That he stinks as a starter. Move him to the bullpen. He could be a closer.
Yeah.
I was like, and this was when he was like hitting mid-90s with his fastball. Not like, you know, topping out at 89.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I mean, I think you're going to have to throw out the window like all the traditional things that we're used to in baseball with this year because you can always say, hey, we're going to throw you to the pen, but it's for 40 games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like necessarily like, hey, you're no longer a starter. It's an experiment. And
yeah,
maybe.
That's
how they're viewing it.
He sucked as a starter, though. That's part of what got him there.
Well, Joe Madden is a kind of a weird guy, and he's not afraid to try different stuff and, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just behind the scenes right now, Ken is editing the document because he thinks I don't know who some of these young players are that we're about to talk about.
Well, I mean,
I know
wasn't
who
sure.
Casey Mize is.
I wasn't sure. I'm used to Josh and this stuff, so I have to.
Casey
Mize
was a great pitcher at Auburn. I know who he is. But yeah, okay, yeah. Let the kids play. I agree. Let the kids play. This is a perfect scenario for teams like my Atlanta Braves to bring up some young guns and see what they got. Casey Mize is in Detroit, right?
Yeah, and they've brought him up. All these names on this list, including some others, are now active and going to be pitching or playing for the rest of the year. They're bringing up guys left and right. I noticed the Twins have brought up a catching prospect. There's been multiple pitching debuts this week by guys that they've claimed an extra year out of. So Casey Mize, Sixto Sanchez, the Marlins are bringing him up. What a cool name, Sixto.
We had Antonio Alfonseca for the Braves, and he had six fingers.
Oh, nice.
He wasn't six-toed, but he had like half a weird pinky that broke off in one hand. Crazy. Google it.
Hannibal Lecter in the book has six fingers, and he has two middle fingers? Anyway, just saying. I never knew that until I read the books again.
There you go.
Somehow missed that the first time I read them. Anyway, random thoughts from Ken.
Christian Pache, I'm told, will eventually make his debut. It feels like we've been waiting forever for this because of
JT, it's going to be like, I feel like we should just, you know, play Billy Graham in the background because there's going to be so many Christian converts in one night. It'll be the most since Billy Graham had a crusade.
Oh, boy. I do like that he spells it with just the R. Like,
for the record, you're welcome, John Howard. You are welcome, sir.
Christian Martinez spelled it that way, didn't he? He spelled it a weird way.
I think Cristiano Ronaldo spells it sort of that way.
Oh, the soccer guy. I'll be honest with you, Ken. I have no idea who Tariq Skubal is.
Yeah, he's a pitcher. I picked him up in fantasy, and he lost me like 15 points in his debut, but. He's supposed to be really good, actually, so we'll see.
Yeah.
There's that.
Did you mean to make a pun here with Manfred's Man?
Sort of. I saw someone else. Like, I totally stole it, but, you know.
Manfred Man's Earth Man, Blinded by the Light.
Yeah.
The extra innings rule. Okay, so that's the fella on second starting the extra innings, which I kind of liked. I think it's kind of neat.
I have liked it. More than I thought I would. That being said, I don't like it in the 10. Like, I think
you think it's like, I think like,
yeah, go ahead.
Try it out regular. Wait, hockey goes to, all right, 5 minutes, 3-on-3. And then if you can't end it there, then we'll go to shootouts.
Right.
So, like, you think, okay, we give you like the 10th and 11th. And then, okay, if we go to 12th,
yes.
Now we got to play with some stipulations.
That's what I feel like. I feel like, you know, I understand wanting to massage it a little bit so you don't end up with like a 6-hour game. I get that. You know what I'm saying? But like,
yeah.
But at the same time, I don't like just immediately making this contrived situation just because 9 innings didn't quite hold.
What if you play a regular 10th?
Okay? Uh-huh.
Regular 10th. Uh-huh. 11th inning runner on first.
12th I see where you're going.
Second.
I like it.
13th inning runner on third.
I like it.
And then you
got
to play from there. Yeah. I think that could be cool. That could
be kind of cool. And then 14th inning, running on first and third. 15th inning, first and second and third. 16th inning.
There you go. Bases loaded.
Bases loaded, right.
You might end up with like a game that's like 2-2 and then goes into extras and the final is like 18-16.
Right. And I mean, you know, it's never going to happen. I can't imagine it ever happening.
I think that would be cool. I mean, because it generates offense, it generates fun. I mean,
but if you're going to contrive it, like, go all out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there comes a point where you're going to contrive it, I like doing it that way, you know.
And again, and don't shy away from making it a good TV product because, like, you can say, well, that's just the way it is. Well, you know, I mean, things change. And
I just don't like doing it. I just don't like doing it immediately in the 10th. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the 10th.
Yeah.
Leave it normal for an inning, maybe two, and then start with your
get to the point where then you're like, okay, we got to speed things along.
You're right. Like, give us a chance for a walk-off here for a couple innings. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not that you couldn't get a walk-off the other way, but it doesn't feel a natural walk-off. It feels like you're doing something else. Anyway.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, the Cardinals. Wow. This is crazy. How many games have the Cardinals played thus far?
Do we
know that?
Well, yes, I can look that up. 1 second. It is. So far, the Cardinals are 6-7. They've played 13 games.
What?
While the Braves have played 25.
Okay. All right. Well, Cardinals, you idiots. 11 doubleheaders. So that's 22 seven-inning games.
Yep.
That's 44 less innings, which that's not a, like that's not an insignificant amount.
Not in a 60-game season. No, right. That's
No, I mean, like, as far as taxing their bullpen, things like that, I mean, that can
that's beneficial. That's five less games, basically, than most teams play. Yeah.
But you're right in that they do. I think it will all come out in the wash because they do have to play them with doubleheaders. It's going to be taxing on them a lot.
I could see it.
They're going to play... Like something is crazy amount of games in a crazy amount of days. Like it's
yeah.
Oh man, it's not gonna be pretty.
I agree. I don't know whether to be a little frustrated with this and yell at MLB because they didn't force them to go ahead and play games with their taxi squad, you know, during the COVID thing. And so I don't know if this is gonna be like, if it, let's put it this way. If the Cardinals win a whole lot during this, there's some central teams going to be really upset about it. That they,
I don't see how you can
played a bunch like of seven inning games,
just
and won them. You know,
from how hard it is to navigate a baseball season as it is with the number of injuries you get. Just you know, Matt Adams running first, tweaks his hamstring, those kind of things. The blister that pops up on a pitcher's hand. Those are all those little things that come up with navigating just the day-to-day life of a baseball team. Like, yeah. How can you even... No one's ever had to manage a baseball schedule like this.
Yeah.
I mean, just from a personnel standpoint, you got to be looking and going like, okay, how are we going to manage our starting rotation, our bullpen... Yeah. Goodness gracious. Like, you talk about taking it a day at a time and then just seeing like, what warm bodies do we have to pitch tomorrow?
Of course. Kind of, I mean, of course, maybe teams will be annoyed because they'll basically get a 29th man all those games, too. They'll have like an extra man on the squad for each game, basically. So I don't know how that'll work.
Wild.
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
Oh, that's weird, man. It's a weird season, and there's nothing weirder than the Cardinals. Season this year, we'll see how it plays out. I mean,
I hope they lose all 22 games.
Yeah, me too. And I don't think there's a way that benefits them at all.
Yeah,
like there's just no.
I think possible. After, especially after like the first 10, I think you're really going down.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. Like if you told a football team, hey man, for the next 3 weeks, you're gonna play 3 games a week. That's not a good thing. Like that's not a plus.
But you're only going to play half a game.
Well, 7-9, like it's not that big a difference, but it adds up over time.
Okay, you got to play 3 quarters instead of 4.
Yeah,
and all those.
Trade season, Ken. You actually think there's going to be trades? I don't know if anybody's going to trade anybody.
I think so. So I think there could be a little bit of trade action. I don't think you're going to see any like huge, big, long-term contracts traded, and I don't think you're going to see a lot of expensive contracts traded in the sense of a lot of guys taking on giant amounts of money, you know? But I could see some young prospect trades, like he's not working out here, we're going to give him a change of scenery, and we're going to trade him out with a guy for another change of scenery kind of piece. But I could also see some of these teams that are way out, like Pittsburgh, San Francisco, those kinds of teams trading a few pieces. I don't think that you're going to have like 30 trade names to watch like we do most years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's going to be like 5 or 6 names to keep up with that teams are going to be really interested in. So for the Braves, for example, Johnny Cueto, you know.
Yeah, that was in an article somebody wrote.
Yeah, they totally stole my idea because I actually had talked to like our little baseball group chat about it before anyone posted it. I'm just saying.
Well, Cueto is, I think he's 34 now.
Yeah.
Been around for a while, but he is kind of, you know, he's a guy who's crafty.
Yes.
Like, and he can get guys out without having to overpower them.
He's had a really good year so far. He's had a really good year so far. And Cueto is a guy that he's got 2 years technically left on his contract. He's owed $22 million next year. He's technically owed $22 million the next year, but a team could buy out of that for $5 million. So I think he really fits well with Atlanta. The question is, what would they ask for? I think if Atlanta said, hey, we're going to take on like all that money, I think Atlanta would have to send like one decent prospect. I don't think they'd have to send a whole lot more. Maybe Ender in a long prospect or something. You know, I don't know. Something like that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like a good prospect I wouldn't mind parting with. I don't know, man. Like a pitching prospect, you think?
I don't know. Some people said like maybe something like Trey Harris or Bryce Ball.
I was about to say Bryce Ball would be a guy. Maybe a
Tarnock. Yeah, maybe
a
young pitching prospect like Tarnock, or maybe even the guy that was like drafted last year, you know, that we really don't know a lot about yet, but has a high ceiling kind of thing. You know, high ceiling, but long way away, you know.
Don't touch Shea Langeliers. That's my man. Taiwan Walker, you have on the list. He seems like a guy that's been like a prospect for like 10 years.
Yeah, he's kind of sucked at times is what it's come down to, you know. But he can eat a lot of innings, and that's kind of what the Braves could use. He's having a decent year for Seattle. He's put together a couple good games.
Nate Eovaldi is not a guy I would not be unhappy with him coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like that's a lot of money. I don't even know what his Spotrac. Let me look right here and see what his contract is. But I feel like it should be expensive.
Yeah, I know. I say that. I'm not the one having to pay for him.
It's really not too bad. He's owed $17 million this year, $17 next year, and $17 in 2022. So, I mean,
We're paying $18 for some guy named Cole Hamels who apparently plays for us. So,
yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
I mean, I don't know how I really, to be honest, I haven't even kept up with how Nathan Eovaldi's been. Like, I don't really even have a clue.
I just remember him being a pain in our butt for a while when he pitched for Marlins. And, you know, look, at this point, if you're a Braves fan.
Let's see. This year he's 5.93 ERA. He's 1-2. That seems not too good. 1.42
WHIP. But it's okay. We all know what change of scenery does for a pitcher.
Yeah, especially always when you're on a really crappy team. Especially.
Yep. Always helps. And just, you know, look. I mean, we got Robbie Erlin and Josh Tomlin making starts right now. I mean, nothing against those guys, but that was not in our plans. So.
And to humor Ryan, our buddy old Ryan, the bald headed wonder, He actually has an idea that it makes me cringe to think that I'm about to say this, but he wants to bring back Kevin Gausman, and I don't know that it's the worst idea in the world. Gausman's having a good year. The Braves need guys that can eat innings, and I think Gausman could go out there, give you 5.5 innings of 3 to 4 run baseball, and keep you in most games. That's not a good ERA. That's not fantastic pitching. But with this bullpen, if he could go through the rotation twice, I mean, go through the lineup twice and get you to the fifth, basically, without being down 7-1, then
my only argument against that is, can Josh Tomlin already do that?
He may can.
Yeah. And
but
maybe Robbie Erlin can too.
Maybe you need one more.
But
we're missing four. We currently only have one starter in our rotation. So, you know, maybe.
Exactly right. What you got to look at is we're less than 40 games away from the playoffs.
Right.
You're going to go to a divisional round with Max Fried and what exactly?
Yeah. Maybe Ian Anderson. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Tucker Davidson. Guys that haven't even pitched at the major league level yet, you know?
Right. Our game two starter.
That's why, to me, Johnny Cueto makes a lot of sense. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
He could teach young guys some things. You could have him. And I think then you could piggyback Tomlin and Yanoa, or even put Yanoa behind Cueto, you know, and plan those guys that you're going to pitch 3 or 4 innings with them, and then in the playoffs, you know,
And give him a chance to compete. You know, sometimes going from a cellar dweller to a team with a shot at it can be invigorating, you know. And it reminds me of, golly, remember that game Freddie Garcia pitched for us? And it was like he was washed up at that time. But it was one of those times where he was just, look, a veteran guy can bottle it up every now and then and pitch a really, really awesome game. And we really need that. I mean, Josh Tomlin can eat innings, and Josh Tomlin can get us, like you said, to, you know, 5 1/3 or whatever and not make us down 7-1, you know, keep us in the game. I have faith he can do that. Josh Tomlin in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
No idea what he can do. Give me a guy who's been in the playoffs before, who had some experience and has, you know, has seen the battles of the playoffs before. Give me some guy with a little bit of grit to him. Nothing is Josh Tomlin or Robbie Irwin, but they certainly haven't done that. So, you know, it made me feel a little bit better. But I honestly, I don't think at this point there's any way Braves fans feel great about the way the rotation stacks up in the playoffs. There's just, what can you say?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's got to be. That being said, Josh Tomlin won a World Series, but. Or was in a World Series. He didn't win it.
Okay, he was there. Okay.
he pitched in it. He lost a game. He also he was in the he won he okay, so he's 3-1 in the playoffs. And I mean 3-1 in the playoffs. There you go.
Okay. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, you know, a pivotal game, you know, on the road. I guess this year it's kind of weird being on the road in the playoffs. But
so in 2016, he pitched in the ALDS, the ALCS, the World Series. And in 2017, he pitched in the ALDS.
Well, maybe I'm selling Josh Tomlin short.
You are, just a little bit. I mean, a small little bit.
Let's go get Mike Clevenger, and we'll be okay with that.
And in that time, all 2016, he started 4 games, and he went 3-1. I mean, that's not too shabby. He had one bad game in there. The other games, though, he was pretty solid. 3.6 ERA in one, 1.59 in the other, and then a 7.71 clunker.
There you go.
And then in 2017, he pitched, I was trying to see how many innings. I'm not sure. It wasn't a lot, I don't think. But, yeah. Anyway, 0 ERA in 2017, though. So, but he got the win. Oh, he pitched three innings in 2017. Yeah. Anyway, he's got a little experience in the postseason, at least. He's not totally lost. And he was there last year.
Well, then I'm okay.
You know,
game 2 of the World Series, give the ball to Josh Tomlin.
Cy Tomlin, there you go. Hey, JT, it's been fun going around the majors with you, buddy.
Thank you, man. Outstanding.
2 trailer park boys go around the outside.
Ken, our listeners do not get that reference.
I'm glad somebody did. We'll see you next week. It's been fun.
Okay, buddy. Mm-hmm. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.